Father, we thank you today, Heavenly Father. That is one of your titles. Another one of your titles is Savior. And truly, you are the one who has rescued us and delivered us from something that we could never save or deliver ourselves from. That is, from our own sinfulness. And then in addition to that, you have saved us and delivered us and continue to save us and deliver us in many other ways. So, just Father, today we just come to you. Remind us that you are the great deliverer, that you are the great Savior, and that whatever our situation is today, you are more than able to intervene. You are more than able to deliver. You are more than able to save. You have always been the Savior. You will always be the Savior. And Lord, thank you for being our Savior. You have saved us from so many things. So we praise you today for the things you have saved us from that we were in, and the things that you have saved us from because you kept them from even coming to our lives. We give you all the glory and praise, and we just pray, Lord, help us every day, anytime we need deliverance, that we would come to you, for deliverance comes from you. Now take your word, and Lord, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Certainly we know that God is our Savior and our Deliverer. And of course, we talk a lot about salvation. And of course, when we use that word salvation, most of the time, we're talking about being saved from sin, being saved from eternal death, being saved from the punishment that we all rightly deserve because of our sins. And of course, the gospel message is all about salvation in that context. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who was born of a virgin, who lived a perfect life, and then offered himself for us on the cross. And there he took our sin upon himself. And in that process, he delivered us from our sins. We certainly could not deliver ourselves. And that is one of the key things in the gospel message, that we are not able to save ourselves. There are still a lot of people out there that believe somehow that maybe if they're just good enough, that maybe if they just do one more good thing, maybe that will somehow get them into heaven. That will never happen. We will never be able to do enough good things to get ourselves into heaven. And so therefore, we had to have a Savior. But the whole theme of salvation and deliverance runs throughout the Scripture. And God, by his very nature, there are certain things we say that God is by his very nature. He is holy, for example. That is inherent in his nature. Well, one of the things in his nature is that he is our Savior, and that he is our deliverer. And not just from sin. Along with that comes deliverance of every other type. And so today I just wanted us to focus again on this, because truly he has saved us and delivered us from the biggest thing of all, and that is from the penalty of our sin. But there are many, many other ways in which he saves us and delivers us. And so I just wanted us to take a look at that today. So if you're one of those who likes to have the notes and fill in the blanks and have something to take with you, now would be the time to get that out. These are of course, very obvious things, but we have to be reminded of these things continually. At least I do. Number one, to be saved means to be rescued or delivered. So if somebody is sinking in the quicksand or whatever, they need to be saved, they need to be delivered. And there are many situations in which we may need or require deliverance. Indeed, when there is danger, when destruction lurks right around the corner, then deliverance definitely becomes a necessity. And of course, in order to be delivered, we've got to have somebody who is strong enough, has the resources, the know-how, and the ability to do the delivering. Isn't it a terrible thing to be out there saying, help, 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 and there's nobody to help? And help doesn't come because there's nobody to help. So in the scripture, we learn that Jehovah God, our God, the God who loves us, the God who saved us, delivered us from our sins, he is our continual deliverer in every facet of life. And there are many, many different types of situations that we get into that we do need deliverance from because we are not able to extricate ourselves from them on our own. We like to think that we're smart. We like to think that we're strong. We like to think that we're resourceful. And a lot of us are in many ways. But we can very quickly find ourselves. How many remember that old commercial for the little thing for the button? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Other versions of that thing are still circulating today. But that's just as an example. You fall all of a sudden and in one moment you're injured. You've got a broken hip. You literally at that moment cannot do anything for yourself. You need to be saved. You need to be delivered. When the ambulance pulls up and the person cannot breathe at that moment, that is a type of salvation, is it not? That person needs to be saved. That person needs to be delivered. Their life needs to be saved. When somebody is rescued like that, they will come and they will say, thank you for what? Saving my life. And so the ultimate source of deliverance is always the Lord. And that takes us to number two. God is the great deliverer. He is the great deliverer. This theme runs throughout Scripture. He delivered his people from slavery when they were slaves down there in Egypt. He delivered his people on numerous occasions when they were surrounded by armies more numerous and more powerful than they were. We can think of situations with Gideon and Jehoshaphat and some of those messages that we brought a few months ago. And in the most improbable situation, when they get to the Red Sea, he's gotten them out of Egypt. But I said they weren't totally delivered yet. Not until they got on the other side of that sea. And the enemy, the army was closing in on them fast. So God sends a strong east wind and opens the waters, and they march through on dry land to the other side. And then when the Egyptian army sought to do the same thing, God closed the waters in on them, and that was a great deliverance. And they sang on the banks of the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 15, the song of deliverance, the song of Moses, which the book of Revelation says is going to be sung in heaven. That same song of deliverance. And when we get to heaven, we're going to sing a song of deliverance. Hallelujah. Because he delivered us from it all. How many know we live in difficult times today? Huh? The Lord is able to deliver us. Now, in the case of Noah, he delivered him from the flood. But how did he do it? In an ark. And he told him, build an ark of safety for you and for your family. But they were delivered through that. And they were the only survivors. There were just eight of them. And so the human race got another start. And then right on down even to Peter saying, Lord, help me. You know, he wanted to walk on the water. Remember that story? And he's sinking fast, and Jesus has to reach down and pull him out. All kinds of situations. Hey, for Peter right that minute, it was pretty urgent. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And the Lord was there to do it. But God is the great deliverer, and we have story after story after story after story in the scripture, Old and New Testament. He sends an angel, gets Peter out of jail the night before he's to be executed, and just on and on and on. Almost every time we turn a page, God is delivering somebody from something. Number three, ultimately, all true salvation and deliverance can come only from God. And that's really where I want to take this today, because ultimately, all true salvation and deliverance comes from God. Now, does God use certain things in nature or human instrumentality in order to bring that deliverance in the immediate context. Yes, he may. Someone will arrive on the scene and bring that deliverance. But who do you think sent them, and who do you think provided it? It was the Lord. And so many times when we're praying for different needs in the church and in the congregation, what we're really asking for is for God to send deliverance. And we don't always know how it's going to come. But our God is able to deliver. We used to sing a song when I was a kid in those little Pentecostal churches in the South. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. When by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. My God is able to deliver thee. And our God is able to send help any way that he wants to, using any instrumentality that he wants to. But when that salvation comes, you can be sure of one thing. He is the one who sent it. And then again, in the ultimate sense, he is the only one who can truly save and deliver. And of course, especially when we get to heaven, the only reason we'll be there is because he did what? He saved us and he delivered us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there. Number four, the deliverance we need or desire, this is just focusing that same thought right on in. In any given situation, will come from the Lord. Therefore, our focus and expectation need to be directed to him. And I just cannot emphasize this enough. This doesn't mean we don't do the things we ought to be doing. It doesn't mean we don't call somebody, or if we know there's a resource, that we don't examine it. But ultimately, in the situation, whatever it may be, we must recognize that our deliverance, whatever it is we're looking to be delivered from, that deliverance is ultimately going to come from the Lord, and therefore our primary focus and our expectation need to be directed to him. And I've said it so many times from this pulpit, but I cannot overemphasize it, because we have bad habits that are hard to break. And even as believers, I still believe that more of the time than most of us would even want to consider or admit, that our first reactions in crisis situations, heavy stress situations, and things like this is to immediately try to figure out what we can do, or what the person next to us can do, or whatever. And sometimes we think that so-and-so should have done thus-and-so, and they didn't do it. And now, in addition to having this situation, we're all been out of shape because so-and-so didn't come through for us when we thought they ought to come through for us. And if you want to be rescued from that kind of circular thinking, what you've got to do is go to the Lord with it and let the Lord provide the deliverance in his way and in his time, because I guarantee you one thing, and I have learned it by experience, when the deliverance comes from him, it is real, it is right, and it doesn't have to be redone. And I don't have to point any fingers at anybody and say, so-and-so let me down. The fact that I say that is because I had an expectation of them. My expectation is from where? From the Lord. May he use one or more people in order to execute that deliverance? Absolutely. And when he does, we're going to thank him and we're going to thank them. But our expectation must be from him. We turn first to him, then under his guidance and direction. Now we're plugged in there. Now he can direct us. He may bring a thought to our mind that will solve the situation. He may put a name in our mind of someone to contact or to call, or of some resource that we had forgotten that we had. He may, but our expectation is from him. and our first resort, our first place to go. But so often we do it backwards. We want to see what we can do. We want to see how many phone calls we can make, how many things we can do, how many things the people around us can do. And then when finally everything else has failed, then we say, Lord, help. And the Lord is so gracious that, yes, when we finally turn to Him, then He sends that deliverance. But that is not the way that it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be turning to Him first and foremost in each and every situation. What does God deliver from? He delivers from all kinds of things. And yes, He saved me from my sin. That's the greatest deliverance that He's ever brought into my life. But there are situations almost daily that the Lord, you know, can deliver me from and that I may need deliverance from. Now, when it comes down to these little things in daily life or whatever, some of those He may choose to deliver me from. Some of those He may choose to leave me in and give me the grace to get through them. That's His call. And that's the other mistake we make. Lord, I thought You were going to deliver me from this. Pop quiz. How many times did the Apostle Paul, Spirit-filled apostle of God, who probably covered more ground for the gospel than any man in his generation, how many times did he ask to be delivered from the thorn in his flesh? How many times? Huh? Three times. And what was the Lord's answer at the end? My grace is sufficient for thee. So I leave that one to Him. But it isn't wrong for me to ask for deliverance. It wasn't wrong for Paul to ask for deliverance from this thorn that was bothering him. It's just that in that particular case, God had a reason, and it was to remind him of his weakness in himself that he might rely more on God. Whatever you think that thorn may have been or not have been, that was the point of the issue, that he would be reminded, yes, reminded of his own frailty and inability so that he might rely more fully on God. And I have been known to say to someone, anything that makes us rely more fully on God cannot be a totally bad thing, even if it seems bad to us. But is he able to deliver? Yes, he is. And if deliverance comes, where will it come from? It will come from him. Now, here are some of the things that he delivers from. And obviously, this is only a very short list. Number one, from the power and penalty of sin. Yes, that is the big one. And that's the most important. Because that it is in that deliverance that we become children of God. It is in that deliverance that we enter into relationship with Him. It is in that deliverance that now the door is opened to all the other types of deliverance that the Lord wants to do in our lives. But is that the only deliverance? See, a lot of times we think, in terms of salvation, yeah, salvation. And then we leave it there, and then we think we have to solve and resolve all the others. Oh, no. The Lord brings salvation in every part of our lives on a continuous basis. So once he does the big one there and we're saved, now the door is open for him to deliver and save in any number of areas at any time, in our own lives or even in the lives of others that we know. How many here pray for other people sometimes? Huh? Have you ever prayed for somebody's deliverance? Alcohol, or, you know, we could name a whole bunch of things. Lord, deliver them. Who else can deliver them? Nobody else can deliver them. You can go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they can help you identify your problem and be honest about it, but can they deliver you? They can't deliver you. I think I told you a few months ago, Bob Beasley, contemporary of my father-in-law, he was one of the worst drunks in Man's Harbor, North Carolina, when in the 1940s, my father-in-law was down there starting churches in East Lake and Man's Harbor and little places like that. And Bob Beasley was a well-known, he was a fisherman. He is a well-known drunk in that area. And when the Lord saved him, he delivered him from alcohol instantaneously. He never took another drink. He never felt the need to take another drink. He was never tempted to take another drink. And later the Lord called him into the ministry. And I knew him almost all of my growing up years, and you wouldn't find a more dedicated man of God. So do I know God can deliver? Down in Puerto Rico, I was involved with a ministry, which I usually visit when I'm down there, and they're still in business. And it is a Christ-based, Christ-centered rehab program for people with substance problems. Have I seen God deliver people? Absolutely. God can deliver, and He is the only one who can deliver. So when you pray, you can pray, but you can pray for others, because if a person is delivered, you can be sure of this. It will be the Lord that did it. And that's why we have to keep praying. That's why we have to keep praying and knocking on heaven's door, because the Lord is the one who can do it. Nobody else is going to do it. And we've all heard of those mamas that prayed for a wayward son for 40 years before he ever turned around and came home. But he did. Do you think those prayers make any difference? I think so. So, he's our great deliverer, and he's the one we're going to keep going to. Number two, the Lord delivers from dangers and threats of all kinds. Dangers and threats, both physical and spiritual, temporal and eternal. So the Lord is constantly available to bring deliverance in many, many ways. Dangers, He delivers us from dangers. He delivers us from threats. I think there are times when the angel of the Lord is kind of around us and delivers us from stuff, and we never even knew we were in danger because he headed it off before it could happen. When we had only been in Cuba a few weeks, the second time, we were in a town called Ciego de Avila, and we didn't really know there was a revolution going on yet, all of that stuff. And my dad had an old 1948 Packard, red and black. Well, red and black were the colors of the revolution. And they were the colors of the 26th of July movement, which is still celebrated every year on July 26th. It was when Castro's forces made their first attack on a soldier's barracks down in Santiago de Cuba. But in Cuba, at the entrance to every town on that main highway, there was a military installation there. There were soldiers there, kind of like the National Guard or whatever you want to call them. And some people my parents had gotten to know invited us to a wedding out in the country. And it was a big affair, and we were getting home kind of late at night, and it was dark, and we were driving past this cuartel, they call it. And it had sandbags up on the roof, and it had a machine gun on a tripod pointed down at the road. And we were almost past it. And Mr. Martinez said to my dad, "Stop, stop, stop, stop." So my dad stopped. There were two soldiers there by the road halfway down in the ditch with a flashlight, and we hadn't seen them, and they had flagged us to stop. So my dad backed up, rolled the windows down. Mr. Martinez explained to him who we were, where we'd been, what we were doing. He told us to go on. Mr. Martinez knew some people there. He went back by a day or two later. And one of the guys said, "You know something?" He said, "It's good you all stopped when you did," because he said, "I already had my hand on the trigger ready to pull it." So, God delivers sometimes we don't even know we were delivered. And he delivers us because we put our trust in him. And he delivers us from actual things we're already in, but he also delivers us from threats and dangers. How many have heard stories about somebody missing a bus and then it was in an accident, or they missed their flight? How many have heard those stories? The Lord delivers. Number three, God delivers from threats, both inner and outer. You see, some of the threats, we like to think all the threats are out there. A lot of the threats are right in here. We have weaknesses. We have a tendency to make wrong decisions in certain areas of our lives or whatever. And so if we have something like that, the Lord is able to deliver us from that as well, not just the outer stuff that is out there. Number four, from oppression and bondage. That prophecy that Jesus read there from Isaiah when he was at the synagogue in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppression isn't just from governments, and it isn't just from military systems. Oppression can be spiritual. And there are people, there are even Christians that live under spiritual oppression and depression. And the Lord is able to deliver us from those as well. The Lord is he hates bondage. He hates bondage. He wants to set us free. So if we are in bondage in some area of our lives, we need to start crying out to the Lord. We may already know him as Savior, but there may be some areas where we're not free yet. How many of you know that story of Lazarus? He had been raised to life, but he was still bound by the grave clothes, and he had to be set loose. And Jesus said, you know, take those grave clothes off, set him free so he can go. Some of us still have some stuff hanging on from the old life that we need to be set free from. And the Lord is more than able to do that. And number five, God delivers even where there seems to be no way of escape. And that's why when we come to these situations, how many have heard that phrase, a God-sized problem? Bigger than I can handle? But it isn't too big for him to handle. And those mountains shall be what? Removed. Those mountains shall be removed. Those mountains shall be removed by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the Lord is able to deliver when it seems that there's no way out in the natural. So I don't know where you are today. And maybe you don't have anything that you need delivering from. But I'll just say this. If there is an area in your life, either outer or inner, either temporal right now or spiritual, whatever it is, my God is able. And not only able, he is willing to deliver you and to do it today. Shall we pray? Father, we come today and we realize, Lord, that no matter how much we know, no matter what gifts you may have given us or how much experience we have or anything else, sometimes it seems like almost daily, sometimes we confront things we're not equipped really to deal with. But Lord, you are able. You are the great Savior. You are the great deliverer. And I thank you so much for a man like David who You gave him victory after victory after victory after victory. And he really wasn't, that we know of, ever defeated in any significant way out there on that battlefield. But his hope was in you. And in so many of those Psalms, he cries out and he says, Lord, help me. I'm surrounded. I'm overwhelmed. I'm snowed under. Lord, please come to my aid. Please come to my defense. Please set me free and deliver me. And you did. And later he was able to give that testimony. So Lord, wherever we are today, help us to trust you for deliverance. And if it's a minor area where it's just an aggravation or an inconvenience, we'll leave it to you whether you deliver or give grace. But I know that in general, you don't want any of us in bondage, and you want us to be free today. So help us to come to you and to trust you, whatever it might be, whatever area of life it might be, and to trust you to bring the salvation and deliverance we need. You are our deliverer. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.